This is the Ethanol Report. I'm speaking with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, about a vote in the Senate on Tuesday afternoon that was expected on the Coburn Amendment. And Bob, why don't you tell us about what happened?
Well, Senator Coburn had hijacked the Senate floor last Thursday and, in a rather unusual parliamentary maneuver, had gotten a cloture vote on his amendment to eliminate the ethanol tax incentive immediately. We obviously don't believe that it makes sense to just eliminate the tax incentive right now with no plan for the future. We had activated, as did many of our allies in the Senate and others around the country and farmers from coast to coast. And the Senate rejected Senator Coburn's backward-looking effort to eliminate the ethanol tax incentive by a rather overwhelming 59-40 vote. A lot of folks were voting because they didn't like the process that Senator Coburn had thrust upon the Senate, the way that he got his vote. It was indeed highly unusual for a cloture motion on an amendment, a cloture petition filed by a member instead of the Republican leader. So from a process standpoint, we had a great deal of support that we might not otherwise have. On the other hand, it is pretty clear as well that the United States Senate is tired of the gamesmanship that was apparent in this and doesn't see the value in a precipitous elimination of the federal support for ethanol, and I think would indeed prefer to have a more rational transition for an ethanol policy that would assure continued demand, would assure investment in infrastructure, and would ensure the continued evolution of the ethanol industry to new feedstocks and new technologies. That indeed has been teed up with a commitment by the majority leader for a vote on Coburn again in a couple of weeks and a vote on an alternative. And that's what we've been angling for all year, so we welcome this opportunity.
Now, the alternative, what is that?
Well, yesterday, Senator Thune from South Dakota and Klobuchar from Minnesota had introduced a bill that was co-sponsored by Senator Grassley and I think 14 or 15 of their colleagues that would accelerate the phase-out of the tax incentive that Senator Grassley and his legislation had proposed a month ago and would actually result in the elimination of the existing tax incentive as yet this year. But do three things in terms of looking forward. Provide a tax incentive for infrastructure so that consumers might actually have a choice at the pump and encourage more blender pumps and resources for E85 and E15. It would also provide a safeguard that if the price of oil collapses, as it has done in the past with devastating consequences for the U.S. ethanol industry, and tie any incentive that might exist in the future to the price of oil. And that just makes sense. It's a fiscally responsible approach that would recognize that at $100 a barrel of oil, you don't need the taxpayer to provide an additional incentive to a gasoline marketer to blend ethanol into his gasoline when the marketplace is already providing incentive enough. But would also recognize that, you know, if we're looking at $40 a barrel oil or $50 a barrel oil, let's make sure that that gasoline marketer can continue to offer domestic renewable fuels cost effectively. It's a type of thing that I think is very fiscally responsible and makes sense as an insurance that the investment that the taxpayer has already made in this industry is protected. And thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, it would provide an extension of existing tax incentives for cellulosic ethanol and other advanced biofuels to allow the continued evolution of this industry to continue to new feedstocks and new technologies. Now, that's a program that I think looks to the future. Senator Coburn is only looking at the past. Senator Coburn and his oil patch cronies want to try to grab market share back from the ethanol industry and do as much damage as they can to the farm economy. I don't think at the end of the day that Senator Coburn wins, but we're all going to have to work hard to make sure that the alternative that we're talking about resonates on Capitol Hill, gets traction, and can succeed.
What happened to the measure that Senator McCain had brought forward to eliminate the funding for blender pumps and things like that?
Well, Senator McCain had offered a second-degree amendment, meaning that once the Coburn Amendment had passed, his then would be considered by the full Senate. When Senator Coburn's amendment to eliminate the ethanol tax incentive immediately failed, and failed overwhelmingly, then the McCain amendment was no longer ripe and went away. I'm certain that Senator McCain and his effort to preclude any investment in infrastructure will continue to be offered on other bills. And Senator DeMint has also suggested that he has an amendment to eliminate the renewable fuel standard. I mean, this is the oil patch trying to devastate the public policy underpinnings for this industry. I don't think that they will succeed, but they will clearly continue in their efforts.
With the federal deficit, what it is, of course, we know that spending has to be cut, but are there any other industries that are actually working with Congress like the ethanol industry is in order to help in that regard?
No, absolutely not. Take the oil industry, just for example. A month ago, when Senator Menendez had offered an amendment to repeal the oil tax incentive, some $20 or $30 billion in continued taxpayer support for their industry, the API and Exxon and all the oil companies fought with everything they had just to beat back the effort. There was no fiscally responsible recognition that, you know, maybe at $100 a barrel oil, the taxpayer does not need to encourage Exxon to drill for new oil in the Gulf of Mexico. No, they just want the taxpayer to continue to underwrite their profits. The ethanol industry, I am proud to say, has been responsible. We've stepped up and we've said, no, we recognize that the market has changed. We recognize that the industry has grown. We recognize that the public policy has evolved. And we can, indeed, we should, take a look at these policies and revamp them to reflect current realities. I would challenge, again, any other energy industry to do the same, because the nation's fiscal situation is such that we all need to be at the table.
Now, you said that the next time this is going to come up is the Coburn Amendment is going to come up again in a couple of weeks, and or the alternative, the Thune-Klobuchar bill?
It's not entirely clear, but Senator Reid today had suggested that by a week from Friday, the Senate would consider side by side a Coburn Amendment and an alternative to that that represented the approach that the industry has suggested. I welcome that side-by-side comparison because I think most senators recognize that simply eliminating the existing program with no vision for how to move forward doesn't make any sense. And I think that there'll be a great deal of support for our vision, which says yes, the existing tax incentive program perhaps has done its job. We don't need to utilize it any longer, but let's make an investment in infrastructure. Let's provide a safeguard against a collapse of the oil industry so that the investment that the taxpayer has made is protected. And let's make sure that there is a pathway for the continued investment in cellulosic ethanol and other advanced biofuels. You do those three things, I think that makes a great deal of sense for America's energy future, and it's most certainly makes sense for America's pocketbook.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. And that's the Ethanol Report. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.